Oh, Father God, thank you that you are for us. Thank you that we are precious in your sight. Thank you that you, O Lord God, hold on to us. It is not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus that we stand, that we live. It is not by our own strength that we walk in fellowship with you, but by your working of your Spirit within us. Father, would you come now? Yes, we know you are everywhere at all times, but we ask that you would come in a very special way here, that you would manifest yourself, that your Holy Spirit would open our minds, our souls, to you and to your word, O God. Please, Lord, help us to know you in truth and in spirit through your word this morning and through the working of your spirit, that we may believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and we may trust you and follow you, O Lord God, that you may be glorified in all things, that we would love you and love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to the bulletin. And for this week's passage, as I hope will be helpful for all of you, Michael has put in what's called a kind of parallel versions of the passage for this morning, and there's three columns. There's the 1984 NIV, which is what we have been, what I have been preaching from for 20 years. Wow, that sounds long. Good night. I'm old, folks. Wow, I started when I was 3. Thank you, sister. So remember, we started about the same time here, so. So there's a 1984 version, then there's a 2011 NIV version, and which is what you'd buy now if you buy NIV, and then there's the ESV also. I get those three correct, Michael? Excellent. So you can just get a little comparison for a short passage that we have this morning and see, you know, slight differences. There's no major differences in this passage that we have here this morning. But just as to get us moving in the direction of the switch over to the ESV, I'm actually going to read from the ESV this morning. So you have that in front of you. But again, you have the NIV. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. You bought a new NIV. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. That's okay. That's all great. It's all great. There's a different translation. If you have any other questions, by the way, about other translations or paraphrases, come ask me. We can talk about them. There's all different kinds. We're so blessed to have the Word of God so readily available to us. What an amazing, amazing blessing we have. This morning we will be looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. In the first, the opening of the 1 John, John was orienting us to Christ, and Christ as the life, the Word of life, and that He really is human, became human, and really is God. It is true; He is both, and that He came that we would have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with one another, and we would have life, eternal life, through belief in Him. And this morning's a brief passage now, he's going to introduce first some truth about who God is. Remember, we said that there's kind of two main themes, two main truths that John in his first letter to the churches is going to address. And a lot of it was writing against Gnostic thinking. But what he's writing for is God is light, meaning calling us to believe, to write belief in who God really is. And God is love, calling us to write living based on who God is. Okay? And so he's going to start in with God is light, and this is what's so wonderful here. This isn't something that John figured out himself. John didn't just sit on a rock and start thinking and think, you know what? I have a good analogy to describe God. God is light. No, he says that this is the message he received from Jesus himself. Jesus declared, proclaimed, taught who God is. And he said God is light. And we'll see that this morning. Then, after he declares that truth that he received from God, which is the same message that we declare now to one another and to a dying world, that God is light, he gets inherited that same message. Then John is going to go on and kind of give three illustrations or three correctives or three what it means, what how we live out that reality that God is light. And it's going to come and say, if we say, and he's going to do it as a corrective based upon the truth that God is light. So, God is light. So today we'll look at the statement, God is light, and then the first, therefore, the first implication of that truth that God is light. And Lord willing, next week, we'll look at the next two of implications of God is light. So follow along with me, please, as I read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from Him, Jesus, who we were just talking about, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is God's Word. God is light. This is the message from Jesus that He has received in verse 5. Wonderful again, right? It says, I received this message. I didn't create this message. I didn't figure this message out. I didn't have some secret knowledge, as the Gnostics wanted to claim, about God, that I discerned myself because I'm wicked smart or something like that. No, no. He had to receive this from Jesus. Jesus taught this. And Jesus reveals the Father. And this is what He's chosen, how He's chosen to reveal Himself, because it is who He is. It's not just a characteristic of God. This is maybe a fine point, but I think an important one. It's not just one characteristic. There are many characteristics of God, and the fact that God is light isn't just a characteristic. It's the essence of who He is, and there's much. So God is love is also the essence of who He is. Like, this is wood. That's wood. It's the essence of what it is. And so we say, who is God? It is absolutely truth to say God is light. As to say also God is love, not just one thing to define God. God is, His essence is that of light. Now, when we think of God as light, that's very rich throughout the Scriptures. John isn't the first one, in his epistle here, isn't the first time that truth of who God is proclaimed. We think back all the way to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, I got my big Bible up here, one that many of you signed at my ordination. My ESV, which is wonderful because it's giant print. It was my 40th birthday. For my 40th birthday, oh, the memory goes. See, okay, right. See, the memory goes because I'm getting older. That's a joke. But my dear wife's memory isn't, which is a blessing. Right? As you just... What's that? It never. You guys never forget, huh? It's just remember everything. Okay. Genesis chapter 3. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Right? God is this is creation. This is the very beginning. Here's the very beginning. Here's the very first thing that the Word of God declares that God creates. What is it? Light. And God said, "Let there be light." He spoke, and there was light. How does He create? Does He put things together, get a hammer, and you know? No. Let there be light. And there's light. God's first act in creation is to create light. It's not an accident. It's not just because it's necessary for all things, but it is necessary for all things because it is the essence of who God is, and He is necessary for all things. He wanted to communicate us the very first thing is Himself. That He is light. John Stott writes, "The God who creates begins with light as the primary expression of His own eternal being. Let there be light." Because that is His essence, Him. He's showing and giving us Himself. In 1 John it says, God is light. That's the positive. Then it's going to put the negative on there too. And very emphatic to highlight even more the truth, the beauty, how positive the truth is that God is light. It says, in Him is no darkness at all. It's very emphatic there in the Greek. And there's absolutely no, not any, not in the slightest bit, no way, no how, there's no darkness. There is only light. God is light. This is the message from Jesus that He gave to John, and it picks up on Genesis 1, 3, as we just said. God also reveals Himself how, as we've been looking at throughout the book of Exodus, in the nighttime, in the midst of darkness, He reveals Himself as a pillar of fire. He's not a sound to hear. Didn't send an angel to say, come with me and walk this way. He didn't say, you know what, don't bother walking at night because who should be walking around at night? It's dark. You can't see anything. He didn't say that. He said, I give you myself in the darkness. And I am light, a pillar of fire. And what was the pillar of fire? To light their way. Psalm 119, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There, bringing together, as the Scriptures always do, the Word of God and God. There is no contradiction to them. And God says it's part of Himself, of who He is. So we believe the Word because it is God's Word. When Jesus comes, He declares Himself to be the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am, one of His great I am statements, I am the light of the world. He's not just saying, I'm imparting knowledge to you that will help you. I'm not just a guide. I'm not just one through whom which you can see better. I am the light. And really in that statement there, He is proclaiming, I am God. It's part of His divinity. The truth that the Son of God is the Godhead is one of the three people of the Godhead. That Jesus is God. I am, taking the very phrase that God uses when He proclaims who He is to Moses, Yahweh, I am. Jesus then picks up that phrase, I am the light of the world. God is light. This is the message which John has received from Jesus, which he passes on, and all the disciples and the apostles pass on to the churches and to the people they minister to, and which we even today received in a direct line from all of that teaching. And now we teach one another. And we share with one another the truth that God is light. And we share with a dying, dark world, God is light. The world doesn't want to see the light. The world doesn't want the light. We'll see that more towards the end of our time this morning. The world loves darkness. And so in many ways they'll reject the light. Or as I think I suggested last week, what I seem to be seeing more in our community is not a rejection of the light, but an apathy of the light. Don't care about light. There's just no interest in light. Not an anger towards light, just an apathy towards light. Just going to stay in darkness, and that's just fine. Continue to believe that if we, as God's people, live in the light, walk in the light, which means, in this passage, as we'll see a little bit, means loving one another, the darkness will be attracted to it. That over time, and maybe it's not even in our generation, I don't know. But if we remain faithful to walking in the light and loving the Lord and loving one another, those are all together, walking in the light, loving the Lord, loving one another, all together, same, that the darkness will eventually turn, parts of it, of course. God is light. Well, therefore, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? It's a theological, maybe, truth. First, we believe it. We believe it. We don't... I was going to say we don't doubt or question the truth of it, but of course we do, because we're sinful human beings. So we're going to go through times when we question and doubt, is God really light? Is there really no darkness? If God is light, why do I have cancer? And those are tough questions. I would suggest we turn them around. Say, I don't know why I have cancer, but I know God is light. And therefore, I will trust in Him. I don't understand it. I can't explain it away right now. But I will believe because there is no darkness in God. I will, by the help of my brothers and sisters, I will, by the working of the Holy Spirit, that my heart is prone to wander, so I pray, O God, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Why to Thee? Because I believe You. I believe that You are light. And brothers and sisters, there's times when I question that. There's times when whatever, circumstances, my physiology, whatever it is going on, there are times when I really question that and I need You. And I think You need each other. And we all need each other. That in those times of doubt and confusion, that we hold each other up and say, you know what, my sister, my brother, right now you're having a hard time believing. I'm believing with you. I'm believing for you. I'm walking with you. Because there are going to be times when we question. But together, collectively, let's walk together, encourage one another, and say, well, wait, I don't understand it either. I don't know why you got that diagnosis. I don't know why you have that broken relationship. I don't know why that's going on with your child and your mother and your friends and your job. I don't understand why. But let's hold on to this together with bloody fingernails. God is light. Therefore, the first implication of that John wants to address, and it's a kind of a two-part one. So there's three total. We'll get to the other two next week, Lord willing. This is a two-part one, verse 6 and verse 7, part A and part B. First, walking in darkness, verse 6. This is all, again, based on the truth that God is light. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So the implication that God is light, it's true, God is light. Therefore what? If I say, well, I'm a Christian, or I say, I love God, I'm a follower of God, I know I'm born again, I'm saved, going to heaven. But in my life, I show no inclination towards God. But I continue to walk in, which means relish in, dive into, have my life exemplified by darkness. It does not mean, well, if you ever sin, then you are living a lie. No, and he'll address that very specifically next week, beginning in verse 8 through 10. It says, if your life is exemplified by darkness, you cannot claim to be part of the light. The two are incompatible. They can't go together. In fact, it's really a wonderful part of who God is. Not part. It's a wonderful essence of God that He is light. Because it has a very, very wonderful, amazing quality that light and darkness can't exist together. It's physically impossible for them to coexist together. Light does what to darkness? Spells it. Drives it out. It's gone. Right? There are some things that can coexist. Right? You can root for the Patriots and the Yankees. You're wrong. Quite possibly immoral. That's a joke. I'm kidding. But those can coexist together. Light and darkness can't. If you're walking in darkness, if your heart's inclination is not towards God, then you're not in Christ, the Scripture is declaring here. We gotta be very, very careful with this, right? Because he is, and hopefully we'll see it more in verse 7, but then also in verses 8 through 10. Because in verse 8 he's gonna say, if you claim you have no sin, you're not in God either. So, walking in light or not walking in darkness doesn't involve not sinning. Just the opposite, frankly. Literally, we'll say in verse 8, if you claim, well, I walk in light, I must have all light. I must always walk in light and never walk in darkness at all. I must have no darkness in me. I must never sin. If that's what you think verse 6 means, you're counteracting what he says in verse 8. Which I know we'll get to next week. But to walk in something is a lifestyle. Sin matters. Which is why I so cautiously encourage us that if we feel we've had a born-again experience somewhere in our life, and yet since that day, 20 years ago, we have no desire in our hearts to follow Jesus or love Jesus, if there's nothing in us that longs for God, just think that we need to really seek God into what's going on there in our hearts. Doesn't mean that we didn't have a true born-again experience, because the Lord may bring us back. He who began a good work in us is faithful and just and will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. Let's go on, because verse 7 will explain some more. So, that's walking in darkness. And when we do that, we don't have fellowship with the Father. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's take that first part there. If we walk in the light, well, what does that mean? That means, pragmatically, in this passage here, what's after that comma? If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This section here is really focusing. I think that the besetting sin that he's addressing here is broken fellowship amongst God's people. I think what was happening is the Gnostics were coming and saying, well, if you really want to be a super follower of God, you got to follow our way and not their way. You got to come apart over here. Our special way, where we've added on things, where we've added secret hidden knowledge onto the gospel, our way is the only way. And so if you don't subscribe to our way, we separate from you. We're going to pull away from you. And we're going to break fellowship with you. God says, no. Loving one another. Not just even when we disagree, but because we disagree. Loving one another. In the midst of hurting each other, sinning against each other, in the midst of our own suffering and our own joys and our own celebrations, we fellowship together. We love one another. Why? Because in the midst of my sin and my rebellion, God loved me. Oh, brothers and sisters, God loves you. God loves you so much. He sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for you. He's claimed you as His own, as His child. He's adopted you, and He loves you forever and ever and ever. Therefore, let's love one another. And in doing so, we walk in the light. Walking in the light is having the Holy Spirit change our hearts, that when we sin, not if, when we sin, and we become made aware of it, that the Holy Spirit of God works in us and that we repent. Sometimes it takes us time. Sometimes we're still stubborn about it. But we repent. And here's the beautiful thing about this last part of this verse here. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't often want to get into like verb tenses because a lot of times it's not that important. But this place here I think is really, really wonderful. See, I think when I first read that I say, well, if I'm a good doobie, if I obey God and I walk in the light, then He'll forgive me. That's not what this means at all. He's saying, as we love Him, as we are brought into fellowship with Him by the opening part of this book, of this letter, by the person of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, Jesus goes about cleansing us from all sin. That verb tense there, it's ongoing. It's not once. It's not just our salvation moment, if you have a salvation, if you can think of a salvation moment. Not everyone can. It's not just then that He forgave us, and now every sin we commit after that, we're really in trouble for, because now it's up to us. No, He continues to cleanse us. Do you ever feel sometimes, are there some... I was going to say, maybe it's just me, but I know it's more than just me. What we call our repetitive sins, there's some sins that we just seem to do over and over and over and over again, right? Whatever it is. And when you confess them to the Lord, or you try to repent for the Lord, you start almost getting to the point where you're like, well, I'm not even going to go back to the Lord anymore because, oh my goodness, I had to confess for this sin 37 times just in the past 2 minutes. Surely God has got to be sick of me coming back again and again and again saying, Lord, I'm sorry that, whatever, I was prideful. I'm sorry that I gossiped. I know I just said that 5 minutes ago, a day ago, a week. Oh, I can't. Forget about it. I guess I'm never going to change. That's not how Jesus views it at all. Continually cleansing us from sin. 70 times 77 times 77 billion. Jesus wants us to keep coming back. Yep, Jesus is that same sin again. I'm sorry. And if we truly are sorry, we're walking in the light. We're walking in the light. I feel like, Lord, I don't want to do this ever again. And then 5 minutes later, you do it again. You know what we do? Lord, I did it again, and I am truly sorry. Now, we don't take that for granted. We don't callously go and say, you know what? I'm going to sin because I know Jesus is going to forgive me. See the difference? We don't plan to go out and walk in darkness and then say, well, if I say the right prayer, do the right thing, I can manipulate God into forgiving me. No. It's in love we come to Him humbly, broken, as sinners yet again. And Jesus cleanses us from all our sins by His blood. Not by our faithfulness, but by His blood. And so we are called to walk in the light. We are called to have fellowship with one another, which means we have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And we wrestle with the truth that no one can love God if we do not love His children, if we do not love one another. He'll talk more about that in the book of John. If we have hatred in our hearts towards one another, then we cannot love the Father, he says. Because we are called to fellowship with one another, which is how we walk in the light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. So therefore, we, His children, we walk in the light. We believe it, and we live in that. And so we live to love one another and love the Lord. And you know what? Because we're sinful, we can't just do that on our own. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to sin against each other. We're going to cause pain to one another. And when we do, we ask God's forgiveness and we ask forgiveness of one another. Humbly repenting of our sins towards one another. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, in verse 3, he has a wonderful proclamation about God as light and what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that this may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Be a lover of the truth. That God is truth, God is light. Be a lover of God. Overcome that temptation. If you have not yet received Christ, overcome that battle, that lie of the evil one that says, shh, keep your deeds hidden. Keep them quiet. Stay in the darkness. Hide in the shadows. It's very effective. Last night as we were closing up at the house, working there and everything. It was 7 o'clock at night or so, and it was very, very dark, and the boys were playing a great game of hide-and-seek. And one of the boys just laid down in the middle of the yard. And it was the best hiding place ever. The other three boys were dumbfounded on the whole ride home back to the hotel for like half an hour. The other three brothers were like, I can't believe you did that. You were right there. We couldn't find you. It was amazing. Because it was hiding in darkness. Darkness, it's very effective, but not forever because the sun comes up. The sun comes up, and God's light shines in the darkness. Jesus Christ shines in the darkness. Be a lover of the light. Come to Jesus, whether for the first time or the 50 millionth time. Come to Jesus. He is the light of the world. Walk in Him. Love Him. Love one another. Let's pray. Jesus, Almighty God, You are light. Therefore, Abba Father, We want to be light. Light to the world, light to one another. We want to walk in love to You and to one another. Oh Father, would You give us these hearts and give us Your help to forgive each other, to love each other, and to love You, O God. Would You help us, Lord, not to be lovers of darkness, but to see the darkness for what it is, a rejection of You and a lie of the evil one. That we, O God, would have fellowship with You. Oh, Father, yes. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.